This is the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, and you are listening to the Wrestling POV Podcast.
Hey guys, this is Hardcore Country Mickey James, and you are listening to Wrestling POV Podcast.
What's going on, people? We are, like, here, I guess, right? I mean, shit, I do, you know.
I mean, that shit happens, man. We are both here.
You know what it is? You know what it is? Is that fucking Elio decided to take the night off.
You know what it was, Tony? I won last week in the 5-second shuffle.
You know, I was
scared to come on this show.
I was just about to say that.
That's what happened.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
Or Dean, or whatever you want to call. You know who he is.
Yeah. I mean, it's like
he left like Roman did when he lost his title.
He did.
He went bye bye.
He went heel.
It's okay. He went heel. There you go.
Elio went heel. That son of a bitch.
Right. And that's a scary thought if you think about it.
Right?
When he was a baby face this whole time, if he turns heel now, it's like, holy shit.
he'll be back with us next week. Crazy week in wrestling. Crazy AEW Dynamite. That's the pay-per-view. But
yes.
And I can't wait to talk about that part. So what we'll do is we're going to go over the AEW Dynasty pay-per-view, and then we'll kind of blend it in a little bit with that what happened on AEW Dynamite yesterday. So, Clay, go ahead and let's do a quick review on AEW Dynamite. No, not Dynamite. Dynasty.
Dynasty. All right, here we go. From the first match, and here's the thing, folks. We started with 0 Hour, but honestly, I'm not going to go through that.
I didn't even watch it. Yeah.
So, honest to God, I read the review on it, everything like that. I didn't get to see the match, so I'm not going to talk about it. So, there you go. First match, we had the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass versus Bang Bang Gang for the Trios tag titles for both sides, ROH and AEW.
Yeah.
Bang Bang Gang got the win here. Sure. It is what it is. If you even, you know, that match was okay for what it was.
It's confusing, that whole thing, man. I mean, but not only that, think of it this way, okay? The Acclaimed was like the hottest act back, what, last year, I think?
Yes. Yes.
And then now they're doing this. It's like, wait a minute. They were a good tag team, and they were also a good tag team champion. And then now you put the Trios title on them and
didn't do anything with them.
And hasn't done anything. You have Billy Gunn with them, and I think that's probably the only reasons why that they gave him that Trios title, you know? I mean, it's fucking they need to do something.
Right, exactly. So Bang Bang Gang got the win on that. For the AEW Continental Championship was the next match. Pac versus Kazusuke Okada. Another great match here. Okada gets the win. This was really good. Both guys going at it. Okada retained. I mean, honestly, I don't think you could ask for a better match from these two.
Yeah.
So it was solid.
The thing of it is that Pac's another one that they're not doing anything with. It's like,
no,
you know, yeah. Put it this way. What the hell? Someone posted what AEW stands for. Oh my God. All Elderly Wrestling or some shit like that, because they're bringing in all these older guys from WWE. I'm like,
it's fucked up, but it's the truth. If you want to be honest with it,
it is. But so, my thing is that why are they? The booking is just horrendous. I don't understand what they're doing. And for Pac, it's like, that's talent right there. You had him with the Lucha Brothers, and still did nothing with them. But I did like the match.
It was good. Next match, Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. I cannot believe the House of Black got the win here.
You know, I was about to say that too.
It was like, I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm like, boy. Like, I'm not against Copeland, Briscoe, Kingston, this team. I'm not against them by any means. It's a random fucking team to begin with.
Yeah.
But the fact that the House of Black gets the win, it really shocked me because of Tony Khan's booking, like we talked about. It's like these three guys are Tony's boys, it seems like. And yeah, it was an okay match, in my opinion. I think just there was no build with it. I don't think did it justice.
Well, see, and that's the other thing, too, is that there was no build for this.
Mm-mm.
I had no idea that House of Black was still a thing, you know?
And that's a sad thing.
Which it is, because between all three of those guys are very talented, too. Mm-hmm. I was just as shocked as you were when they won. I was like, oh, shit, they won? Wow. Yeah.
Well, and here's my thing, and I'm not trying to sound like an AEW or a WWE fanboy or anything, but I want to tell you guys something. House of Black could do wonders in WWE, if you want me to be completely honest.
Yeah.
They really could. If they were booked right, and they had the right opponents, and they had the right matches, this could be a threat
And think of it this way, too. You know, whenever we see... You know, because we'll talk about it later, but the Uncle Howdy and Wyatt Six, just imagine that group and that group together. Oh, man.
They would tear the house down.
Yes, they would. You. Yes, it would.
Next match for the TBS Championship, Willow Nightingale versus Julia Hall, or Hart. God, sorry, not the right Julia. But that Julia ended up losing her title. Willow Nightingale is the new TBS Champion. Going against Mercedes Moné, sure.
Kind of saw that coming.
I mean, that's kind of set in stone, it just seemed like. Yeah. And this match was being bought. And then Mercedes says, well, I'll challenge whoever, you know, wins the TBS championship at Dynasty. Yeah. Well, there's Willow. You had your rematch from New Japan. And then, of course, you know, so.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Willow, though.
I am, too. Oh. But what's funny to me is that a lot of people are getting pissed off at Sasha or Mercedes Moné because they're like, you haven't done shit yet in fucking AEW. How the fuck can you say that this is the greatest wrestling promotion? It's like, no, girl, I'm trying not to sound like a Mercedes Moné hater, but I'm gonna anyway. She's horrible. She can't do a fucking promo. She comes out to the same shit. And I'm sorry, you can agree with me or not, but she is straight up copying Bianca Belair.
Okay? Easy.
When Bianca, and if you don't know what I'm saying, Bianca always says, you know, that she is the EST of WWE or whatever. Like, it's just the tone of how she says it. Mercedes Moné says the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, people.
But she wants to be original, as she has always said. It's like,
girl, fuck out of here.
If I want to copy Bianca Belair. So there you
girl.
Go. Next match.
But this match here, I mean, it was okay. I was happy for Willow. Yeah. And now from what I'm hearing, which is a little odd, and if Leo was here, he would be able to tell me. is Julia Hart's contract up or something?
I honestly thought the whole House of Black's, you know, contracts were even similar to one another.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure at least Buddy's and Black Aleister, well, sorry, what's his
Malachi.
Name? AEW. Malachi Black, their contracts are one another. Yeah. So I'm wondering if the whole House of Black just signed a contract, you know, close to one another and see from there, but I could be completely wrong on it.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I'm asking is because this was like all over the internet too. Mm-hmm. That Julia Hart, after that match, later on posted an image of a female, and I'm assuming it's her, but you can't see the face. It was in black and white. It was interesting because people were saying that she's going to be part of Wyatt Six, that she's going to be Sister Abigail or some shit like that. So, well, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, if Elio was here, we would know if her contract is up.
Right. Gosh dang. Elio, man. Partner show. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
AEW International Championship match. Kyle O'Reilly versus Roderick Strong. Another no build to this match.
No. And we talked about it last week. I was like, exactly. Wait a minute. Fucking Kyle O'Reilly never, when he came back, I haven't even seen him do a match. So how the hell
does he deserve
a freaking shot?
He doesn't, if you want me to be quite honest with you.
And here's the thing, though, man. The rankings. Shove him right up Tony Khan's ass. But, I mean, I don't want to hate sounding like this, but these two guys, again, very talented.
Yes.
Very talented, but this match did nothing for me.
No, if you want me to be honest with you, this looked like something that would have been on NXT when they both were in NXT, when they had that feud going with, you know, Undisputed Era and things like that. And it's like, I felt like I've already seen this, but now in a different company and different characters in a way, which they really haven't changed. It's just, I don't know. It just wasn't for me. I'm right there with
you. Yeah, so it did nothing, to be honest. No. And like you said, there was no build. And so how does fucking the book of Tony Khan?
Speaking of the booking of Tony Khan, it leads to this next match for the FTW Championship. Hook versus Chris Jericho.
Why the
fuck did Chris Jericho win the FTW title?
Well, let me tell you something. I'm glad he did.
Well, even it's like I feel like it hurt Chris Jericho winning this title more than it helped.
Yeah,
he doesn't need this belt.
That belt should not exist. Period.
No. And even having Taz involved with all of this, even with the promo on Dynamite before Dynasty was even on.
Yeah,
it led to it. It's like, oh my god, this is so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And then going with Jericho, which it wasn't even that, that good of a match.
But here's my complaint. When Hook was FTW champion or whatever, how many times has he defended it?
Probably at least a dozen times.
And not once have I seen when he so-called defended it. Not once have I heard them say that this was FTW rules because it's for the belt.
Right.
It doesn't. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Because they kept stressing that. They were like, oh, it's FTW rules. So anything goes, because it was for the championship. And I'm like, I've never seen that ever in any of the fucking matches he had that was for that belt.
No,
it's like people seriously like, oh my lord,
the fans were hating bad on Jericho, telling him to retire, go home. Jericho is like, I think he's starting to get the Cody treatment,
but a little bit. I tell you though, I mean, I'm trying to say this in the polite way, but a lot of veterans, pro wrestlers, veterans. They were all saying that, well, you'll see how much appreciated Chris Jericho is when he finally retires. For everybody to say that and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah, I get it. But, why is, for me, this is how I'm looking at it. For me, it's like, all right, why is he putting himself, and I'm talking about Jericho, why is he putting himself in the position with this bullshit with Hook?
True.
That's where I'm at.
I'm wondering if he seriously sees potential in Hook. I'm wondering if he's trying to give him the rub, because I think Jericho's known to do stuff like that.
But there's no rub for this fool to give.
No, I mean, true that.
Not for him,
No, and he does need a lot of work. But maybe Jericho sees something that nobody else does see. I mean, I don't consider him like Mount Rushmore or anything like that, but he's up there to one of the best wrestlers of all time.
Yeah.
And he may see something in Hook that people don't have a clue with. I don't know. But that's the only thing I can get out of this, of him working with Hook, is the fact that he's trying to help. But to be honest, like we've said before, Hook needs more help than ever before. So yeah, that's where I'm at with it. I guess we'll see what happens as time goes on.
But the thing of it is that finally people are starting to see how bad Hook is. You know what I'm saying? They are.
Yes.
And what they're saying is, he's a kid. He's no badass. Why did he come in like that? You know, and I'm talking about what happened on Dynamite. And then, you know, they were like, he can't cut a promo to save his fucking life. I'm sorry. I don't know what. I mean, like, I jumped up for joy when Chris Jericho said that, you know, what he said about Taz and all this other shit. But
and we've been saying for years.
We've been saying it for years. And here's the thing. Like, the one spot, and there's a reason why I'm bringing this up, because when we talk about more on AEW, there's a thing that happened on AEW Dynamite that'll lead to what I'm saying right now, which is that when Jericho pushed Taz, what did Hook do?
Nothing.
Not a damn thing.
not a thing.
It's like, bro, that's your dad.
Right.
Instead of, get out of my ring. But first of all, young buck, not your fucking ring. You didn't earn that cred to make comments like that, especially to somebody like Jericho. I know he wouldn't know it, but there's a reason for that. But that. Everybody was saying how this kid is just no good now. I'm like, thank God people are starting to see it. But
they finally wake up.
Yeah, but you know what? Later on down the road, I still want to revisit Hook versus Dominic in a poll just to see what happens.
Hey, so, four times the charm. Let's do it.
Right? Jesus. Right. And but this match, it was terrible. I mean, honestly, there was maybe two good spots, and that was it. And that was done by Jericho. This kid is sloppy. You cannot tell me, oh, he hung in there with Jericho. No, he did not. He couldn't even hang in there with Samoa Joe.
Every match that he's in, they carry him.
They carried his ass. Don't. If you are sitting at home listening to this and straight up telling me that, Hook can hang with the best of them, you're out of your damn mind.
True that. It's right there. Like, it's pretty obvious if you want to be honest. So there's that. Next match, we have AEW Women's World Championship match. Thunder Rosa versus Timeless Toni Storm. Toni Storm gets the win again here. I'm just over this character. I'm sorry. Like, the matches, I like me some Toni Storm, but not like this.
Yeah.
Even the match wasn't like the worst in the world, I will say that, but it's like, I don't know, just her character throws it off for me. I kind of knew she was going to retain here. I just don't see Thunder Rosa immediately coming back from injury or wherever she's been and getting the world title, even with Tony Khan's booking.
Yeah.
So it's like, for me, this was an okay match. It wasn't,
wasn't great, but here's the thing. Like, I love this character of Toni Storm, Timeless Toni Storm. They got to stop with the fucking black and white. That's getting annoying.
They do. Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, it's her. Put it in black and white. Oh, it's on Thunder Rosa. Put it back to color. Oh, it's on Toni Storm. Put it back on. It's like, dude, stop. Yeah. We already know what type of gimmick she is. You don't have to do the shit in black and white. Just annoys the hell out of me.
Yes.
But and I'm a fan of Thunder Rosa, you know, but this wasn't good.
No. Match of the night is next for me, at least. Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
This tore the house down. Crowd was all into it.
Yeah.
Ospreay got the win over Danielson, which they are pushing Ospreay to the moon. I see why. I don't think he's lost in AEW since he signed.
No.
But I'm sorry. They got to get Don Callis away from Will Ospreay.
Not just that. Get him away from the fucking ring and the commentator's booth.
He makes the matches worse to hear his goddamn voice. I'm telling you.
He takes away from the match.
He does. It throws me off when I'm trying to watch this. It's like, oh, Ospreay versus Danielson. Dream match in the making. And then I hear his dumb ass. It's like, no.
But not only that, it's just that, you know, like I've said before a long time ago, that, you know, if you're a manager in this business, you got to make sure that it's all about them. So what do? You do just little spots here and there, not taking away from what's going on in the ring. When you're doing a promotion, like as much as I can't stand fucking Prince Nana, whatever the fuck his name is. But,
yeah,
you know, if you ever notice, he comes out, you know, does his thing or whatever. When Swerve comes out, he gets behind him. That's what you're supposed to do. But and people are probably wondering, what the fuck are you talking about? It's not about the fucking manager. It's about the wrestler. With Don Callis, he's making it all about himself. And it's like, dude, I don't give a fuck about you. You are a horrible wrestler, even when you did wrestle. I hate the way you sound. You fucking sound like you got a bunch of nut sacks in your mouth. And it's like you, the Don Callis family, you're not Bobby Heenan, bro. You're nowhere near him.
No.
You know, and then it's just his acting is horrible. Everything about what he does is just downright horrible. And then he gets in the commentating booth. I had to turn it down just so I can try to at least enjoy the fucking match.
Even bad. I put it on mute. Honestly, it's better that way.
Yeah. You
actually, I try to commentate myself with the match going because then I don't want to hear it.
Terrible.
This was a really good match. And I hope they have a part two with this because I would love to see these two wrestle every day. So that was a great match. Next, the ladder match for the AEW tag titles. FTR versus the Young Bucks. Young Bucks get the win here with the help of the shocking return of Jack Perry.
Scapegoat.
And here's my thing. With Jack Perry, I'm okay that he's back. I'm okay that he's a heel. But do not act like this kid is some badass coming back to fucking AEW when he couldn't cut a promo heel-wise to save his goddamn life. We want to talk about Hook. Talk about Jack Perry. I'm sorry. I'm going to go where it's at.
Not only that, though, you put his ass on blast by showing that stupid fucking video that made Punk say, you know, what he was saying, 100% truth. Mm-hmm. Totally punked out Jungle Boy. And then yet you bring him back like he's some kind of badass.
I was saying, how is that helping him in any way, shape, or form? It's not. Right. And then they come back on Dynamite, just going to Dynamite, and the promo, the first fucking promo in Daly's place, it's three security guards are pushing him away. Like, oh, Jack, you're not supposed to be here. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, he's with us. Like, it's Jack Perry. He's 120 pounds soaking wet. Let him in the building. He'll get his ass kicked by whoever's going against him. Anyway, just... I don't get it. The ladder match itself was good. I will say that. But you had to throw that in there. It's like it kind of ruined it for me in a way because FTR and Young Bucks could have handled it by themselves.
Yeah.
And you could have like added Jack Perry later on. But it's I don't know. And sure, I was kind of thinking the Young Bucks were going to win anyway just because they're the EVPs and they're supposed to be this heel group right now. And that's, you know, whatever. But... of course, you got the CM Punk chance, and it just, I don't know. This match was okay for me for a ladder match for the tag titles. It was kind of predictable in a way.
Yeah.
And last, but certainly not least, for the AEW World Championship, Swerve Strickland versus Samoa Joe.
yeah.
It, And here's, and I'm not discrediting Swerve at all here, but I was happy that he did get the title here. I don't feel like this would have been much better if it would. I think this would have been better if he would have lost again to Joe. And then following the next pay-per-view, three times the charm, then he gets the world championship. Instead, you have Joe lose the second time around to Swerve, which I'm not against him being world champion. I also predicted at the start of the year that Swerve would be AEW world champion by this year. And he has. The match itself was good. It, just to end it, it was different in a way for, you know, all that. The crowd was chanting Swerve's house. And you had Prince Nana in. And it was a good moment for him, I guess. Just the match was good to me.
So. Yeah, it was. It wasn't the greatest, though.
Right.
It wasn't something that I'm going to remember. You know what I'm saying? but this wasn't a really great heavyweight title wrestling match. Okay. Yeah. So now what we're going to do is we're going to blend this in into AEW Dynamite. What happened? And I was waiting for this so that way we could do that. Okay. Now, like I said, it was an okay match. I'm not going to say anything more than that. Now, but overall, what would you rate this pay-per-view though, Clay?
I honestly, man, I give it a B.
In a
way.
I give it a C plus. That's just about it. And again, late. It's like Tony, man. And I mean Tony Khan. But here's the thing. Here's what bothers me is the fact that there you have you. This is supposed to be a big moment for Swerve Strickland, and then you have your weekly show on Dynamite where you have him wrestle, no talking, no nothing. You have him wrestle some dude just because he was 6'5", and
yeah,
I'm assuming he does a lot of stuff on Ring of Honor. Because he had like a Ring of Honor title, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but, it's Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It took him a while to beat him. Like, I have a feeling this match was longer than the match he had with Samoa Joe.
I believe
that. At the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But here is my point. Here you have Swerve Strickland main event on your pay-per-view. But then yet you have him not even in the middle of your fucking show wrestling this guy, Kyle Fletcher. He doesn't cut a promo. You don't do a celebration. Oh, but wait, you did one for Willow, which would make sense. And then you gave this big old spot to yourself and the Young Bucks to close out the show. Now, just to be humorous for a second, R-Truth put on Twitter, shout out to my dog, at True Kofi, for winning the WCW championship. Did you steal the keys to that forbidden entrance? And he put the picture of Swerve with the AEW title. Bro!
Oh, that is priceless. I love that. Wow. Only Truth would do that.
You and know, yeah, definitely, for sure. So, but anyway, you know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, way to fucking diss your damn champion just to put yourself in the fucking, you know, to close out a show. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, it would have been better if he had at least cut a promo thanking everybody, saying that, yo, this was my dream or whatever. That's what you start the goddamn show with.
Right.
Okay. And then have him come out later on and just say, hey, but you know what? I got to get ready. I'm going to wrestle Kyle Fletcher. Hey, this is what champions do. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Congratulations, Swerve. He goes to the back. He starts getting ready for his match later on. Is it main event worthy? No.
No.
So that could have either been before all that bullshit with the Young Bucks. You know, I'm talking about his matchup.
Right.
Or you could have done all that shit that you close out the show with in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? And then throughout the day, you know, I mean, not all the time, and give updates. Oh my God, Tony Khan suffered this. Tony Khan suffered that. I will give props to Tony Khan because I guess he was at the draft today, the NFL draft, wearing the neck brace.
That he was.
So I give him props for that. But I will not I will not give him props for those bumps that he took.
Bro, that was terrible.
And I get it. He's not a wrestler. I know. But Jesus, bro.
No,
he hit you in the stomach with a microphone. And you felt like you got knocked out.
Right.
Golly. Anywho.
I had to watch that 5 times just to get the like fathom of what the fuck was that. And the thing was, I watched it and it looked like he was looking for it and then got hit and then fell back.
And then fell,
No, you're supposed to not even know it's coming.
When I saw it the second time, I noticed he did that. Like, he was looking for it. And then he got hit. And then he was like,
he leaned in and then gets hit. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, dumbass.
But, right?
I'm watching that and I'm like, wait a minute. Hold up. I don't know whose was worse, Vince McMahon or Tony Khan.
We're talking about Vince at Mania, right?
Huh?
When Vince did that last, stunner at Mania, I think a couple years ago at 39.
Yeah.
When he took
Basically all the goddamn stunners that he took.
Yeah, that's true too.
You know, they were all fucking horrible, but
they were.
You know, so I put it up on our chat, and then we did a poll on it.
I'm interested to see this because I haven't checked it.
Oh my God. And we put it up there. Who took the worst bump? Vince McMahon or Tony Khan? And the people responded. 77% of the people responded saying that it was Vince McMahon that took the worst bump between the two.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they both suck.
I mean, what I was going to say. They both were terrible.
It's like you can't pick one and be like, oh, that was a better bump than that one. It's like, no. Yeah. They were both.
It was fucking stupid, man. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Come on, people. Jesus.
Right.
But, that was AEW Dynamite to follow up. Now, I will give just a C. Harris props to the fact that it was pretty much talked about of the fact that Tony Khan took that pile driver. He took the shot. You know, it was good to see. But there was something else that happened afterwards. Tony Khan's dad came out.
Yes.
With the look of concern. And let me tell you something. He acted better than all the fucking people that were there.
That's true. That was that's the first time I don't think he's ever been in AEW ring.
Well, I think I seen him once.
And oh, really?
I think he was just like sitting in the crowd or some shit like that. But the reason why I'm bringing that up is because you see that angle, right? Tony Khan can't wrestle for shit. We all know that. Can't book for shit either, but that's a different story. So his dad came out with the look of, like, he was worried. Like, oh, shit, that's my kid, blah, blah, blah. How come they were able to do that, but then yet you got fucking Hook couldn't do that for his own father?
Right. Unless Taz was in the backstage. Don't help me. I am Taz. I am blah, blah, blah. I don't need help. Yada, yada.
But you know what,
I can see that bullshit happening.
Yeah, but you know what, though, man? Even when Jericho pushed him, he couldn't even take that fucking bump. It's like, dude, you did this for how long? What did you forget?
Exactly.
And people shut the hell up. I know that he has bad knees, but that's still no excuse for that bullshit.
No. That was even bad too.
Yeah. All right. You know what? Let's take a quick freaking pause.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, we come back. We got This Week in Wrestling.
What's up, wrestling fans? It is yours truly, Ruby Soho, and you're listening to Wrestling POV Podcast with the man, Tony Diaz.
Hi, I'm WWE Superstar Charlotte Flair, also known as the Queen, and listen to Wrestling POV Podcast and always do it with Flair.
This is the hardcore legend, Mick Foley, and you are listening to the Wrestling POV Podcast.
And we are back, and you can find Wrestling POV every Saturday on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and Amazon Music. Now, Tony, it's time to get to This Week in Wrestling.
Was Elio here? Where the fuck did he go?
I mean, he was here for a split second. And then
that son of a bitch. What
he wouldn't let me do his part, though. That's the thing. I talked to him. I said, hey, I want to do the part for once. He wouldn't even let me do that.
No.
He did turn heel. God dang.
He turned heel. I'm telling you. All right. So let's get right on with it. Now, before we do talk about, because I want to talk about what happened on SmackDown last week. Bully Ray tweeted this. And I swear, it's like, Bully Ray tweeted this. He goes, why? And he's talking about Swerve Strickland. Mm-hmm. He says, why is the newly crowned world champion wrestling in this match? And then he tweeted again, some of you just don't fucking get it. Swerve is a new world heavyweight champion. The show should open with him, and we should be hearing from him, not wrestling a throwaway match. The TBS, FTW, and IWGP titles were featured more than the AEW World Heavyweight Championship last night. Wake up.
He's got a point. No, he's not. The show is called, and the company is called AEW. Okay? The AEW World Championship should be the number one belt or number one spot in the fucking show. And yet you're throwing around, like he said, the IWGP title, the FTW title, the ROH titles. It's like, no, this is AEW.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's how it should be.
Absolutely. But, anyway. Yeah. All right. So on SmackDown last week, an interesting event happened with Kevin Owens. Man, this was brutal.
Big time. And this hasn't been seen in WWE in a very long time.
No.
Especially that beat down like that.
Holy shit. Man.
Wow.
I was like, Jesus, bro.
Yeah.
And
they are really.
Tama Tonga, he's looking like he's fucking insane.
I mean, he came from Haku, so
yeah.
He's got a point, I guess. But like, this guy has been in WWE for two shows, if
two
that.
Shows.
And it's like they're pushing him to the moon to be like a scary mofo. Like, seriously, this is something we haven't seen in years.
No.
And I love it.
No. I do too, man. This is great. But my thing is, why Kevin Owens?
Even with his time with the Bloodline, like he's feuded with them for years. Maybe somebody is a threat to Solo Sikoa. I don't know. Just that. I feel like Kevin's been after the Bloodline for, months, going on probably 2 years.
Yeah.
And gets his repercussion, I guess. But
again, just when you think that the Bloodline story is down, it's over. It's like another new chapter now.
I love it.
And I tell you, go ahead.
No, I just feel like this whole Bloodline thing, they could go on for years with it. They don't need Roman. They don't need the Usos. They got Solo. They got Tama Tonga. They got a few others coming, I'm sure. This could go on for a long time. Not just the main characters of Roman and the Usos.
Yeah. And then
they can do a lot with it.
And even when Solo was like standing there and they were chanting Roman's name.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell me Roman's going to come back as a heel. He's going to come back as a babyface. There's no way. I mean, they might dupe us and act like, when he comes out, he'll probably come acting like he is a heel, but then turn face right away. But man, this is fucking nuts. So anyway, I can't wait. I mean, tomorrow on SmackDown, obviously we're going to see more of this. see what's happening. Rumor has it that Jacob Fatu should be debuting. And then I heard about an hour ago that they might hold off on it till next week because WWE, they're having their draft tomorrow.
Makes sense.
So yeah. Before we go into the draft, let's get what happened on Raw with Ludwig turning on Da Vinci. You got right. Chad Gable cutting that promo. Then I'm telling you, it's gonna happen. You watch.
Mm-hmm.
You watch.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen. But not only that, another QR code popped up.
Yes,
another one. So it was a video, right? It was a vidya. Let me see. I'm playing it right now. Really, it's just creepy. Coming soon. Some creeping up at the house. Throws a note on the floor. Showing the crow. Crazy.
And that was it.
That was it. Yeah. But people were saying that there was more to it than that. Like if you put what was it again? If you wrote his name, because in the beginning of that QR code, what the fuck was it? Jesus, this is making me mad. One of them was Bray, and then something else popped up, like a crow or something. People were messing with it. But then this was interesting. The pay-per-view in Saudi, when is that? That's in May, right?
Yes.
25th?
Yeah. Yes, I believe
now,
so.
Now, here's the thing that's really weird, is that there are five fives in the URL. So five times five equals 25, which would be May 25th, which is Bo Dallas's birthday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's the king and
it's also
the tournament.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're saying that Saudi Arabia is known for cave tourism. And if you don't know what I mean by that, Bray and Bo Dallas, they used to do like YouTube videos and they would go and explore these caves.
Yeah. It's in the Bray documentary.
Yes.
Yep.
So a little weird. What do you think of this? I mean, is that when we're going to see it? Are we going to see it sooner? Because I think next step is more QR codes, obviously.
Yeah.
But not until, I think like in the crowd, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the microphone and shit like that.
Right. It just, to me, it sounds like it makes sense to have it at, you know, the King of the Ring tournament, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Just because of what you said, Bo Dallas's birthday, the whole cave thing with Bray.
Yep.
I mean, they can't, and like I've said with Bray's thing, you can't have these QR codes keep coming and coming and coming and then nothing happening because then people are going to lose interest.
Yeah.
So I feel like give it another month of QR codes and it's Uncle Howdy time. So I could see that happening at Saudi, but I don't want them to debut this character, honestly, at Saudi Arabia. Not that I'm no against it, whatever, but it's just not here.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. My thing is, is that I agree with you, but I think they, like this with the whole video, I think that's cool. And I think they need to do more stuff like that because the other QR code only went to just the picture, you know what I'm saying? This one was the actual video. So now if they do more of that, I think I'll be fine with it, but don't take too long.
No.
But if you honestly think about it, and I'm with you there, I don't think it should be debuting in Saudi Arabia. My thing is, I think it would be appreciated more. Not saying that the Saudis wouldn't appreciate it, but I'm just saying, I think it would be more appreciated back in the States than it would be over there.
I think so.
And awesome. And again, just like what you're, I'm not saying anything bad. It's just that
No.
This is where it was created. Why not right. debut it or keep the memory alive of Bray Wyatt back in here, back in, you know, the United States? So
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say. It was like no disrespect to it whatsoever.
No.
Like, it just doesn't feel right being in Saudi Arabia when you have all these happenings and QR codes and stuff like that in the States, and then you're going to ship everybody over there just to debut. Yeah. It's like, no.
No. it just, for me, it doesn't make sense. But I don't know. You're looking at, what, 2-3 weeks, right? No. About 3.5, 4 weeks. 4 weeks.
Yeah. So,
you're talking 8 more times they're going to do this? Because you know they're going to do it on Raw. They're going to do it on SmackDown. So,
right.
You know? I mean, I haven't seen nothing in NXT.
No, other than what... And we could speculate that, you know, Sean Spears or Joe Gacy's part of it, but they really haven't done any QR codes in NXT or, you know, had guys go absolutely crazy, like, you know, stuff like that. But...
Yeah,
I don't know. We're just going off by like what Dreadmere was saying on his YouTube channel and, you know, stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I could see it happening, taking like a total, you know, domination over WWE, but who knows? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's yeah. We'll wait and see. Anywho.
Yeah.
NXT Trick Williams wins. That just, for me, that just means that Dragunov is going to get in the draft. Did he deserve this win?
No.
Why?
Well, here's my thing. Does he get the hype? Yes, he does. Does he have the catchphrase? Yes, he does. But he really, to me, has not changed that much of a wrestler since he was with Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah. There was a few spots he missed, man. I was like, Jesus Christ. He landed on his head. I was like, what the fuck? You know?
And he's got everybody behind him. I get that, but it's like, I hate the fact that NXT is trying to throw out that, oh, Ilya Dragunov and Trick Williams, this will be match of the decade.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Wait the fuck a minute.
Yeah.
No, it was not.
No.
He just has the overhype, which to me, and that sounds horrible of me to say, but I'm telling you how it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel. And for Ilya Dragunov to lose to him, I get that he's going in the main roster, but come on.
Everybody wants to see him versus Gunther. That's why.
I mean, I would love to see that. Oh, don't get me wrong. But but to lose your NXT title Trick, it's like, you know, come on. But
well,
whatever.
But here's the thing. I'm not going to downplay Trick. Is he ready? Let me put it this way. Was he ready for a title match? No. I'm going to say that straight up. He wasn't. The hype is there. Don't get me wrong. Everything, you know, so far has been working in Trick's favor. But I think they dropped the ball on this because, for me, just because the hype was there doesn't mean he needs to get the belt around his waist. Nope. Because I tell you that he still needs to work on his wrestling. Those mistakes that he did, those missed spots that he did in that match, I was like, no, he is not champion material. You compare him to Carmelo, there's no comparison.
Not even close.
And you know, Carmelo definitely is ready for the main roster. But we'll see how this run goes. But I noticed something about Trick, which is, when he does his promos, he seems like he's forcing it, meaning he's trying to say stuff to make people say, and it's not working because I can see right through that. But when he was talking with Johnny Gargano, that was real. And I wish Trick talked like that in his promos. I really do. Because it didn't sound like he was trying to say something to make people say, he was talking from the heart, and that's what he needs to do. When he's doing these other promos, you got the Trick metal. It's like, bro, what the fuck are you saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What I'm talking about when he was with Trick, But even now, and then when they quickly interviewed him, he went right back to it. It was like, I really wish you just talk the way you was talking with Johnny Gargano. you know, you were really like, I felt it. I was like, God damn, that was pretty damn good. And then when he got that other interview right before he went out to the ring, I was like, oh, what the fuck, bro?
Well, see, and I think that's the best promos of anybody to do. It's like the natural feel of a promo, how you feel in your heart, not like you're reading off a gosh damn script.
Yeah.
Just the fact of what you feel and what you're passionate about, this and that, that makes for a lot better promo than, oh, I'm going to do this, that. And you know what I'm saying? It's
trying to make shit rhyme and trying to, you know, it's like, no, dude, you don't have to do that.
No.
Just speak like how you were speaking when you were talking with Johnny Gargano, man. And people are going to feel, people are going to have more sympathy and root for you than you would, you know, I mean, but hey, well, like I said, we'll see what happens. All right, right. Now we got the draft tomorrow on SmackDown. What are your thoughts on it? What do you think is going to happen during that?
Well, I honestly think the Bloodline is probably going to stay on SmackDown, is my guessing. They said the champions are, you know, staying together on their brands.
Right.
So we'll do with that. Here's my thing. I see Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes coming up on NXT. I could also see Lyra Valkyria coming up at NXT going into the main roster. Really, and I can see a bunch of shocks happening, you know, just with that. That's honestly about all I got. Honestly.
Yeah. I think the Bloodline, I think that's coming to Raw.
You think so?
I think so. You know why?
What's that?
Because Raw is going to be on Netflix by next year. And the way those guys have been doing their crazy shit with blood and fucking, you don't think Netflix wants a part of that?
Man, I don't see why not. For the bunch of the stuff they have on there already, it's like that won't hurt them any. That'll help them.
No. So I definitely think the Bloodline's going over there. I see Gunther going to SmackDown to go after Cody. Mm-hmm. I don't know who from. Hey, maybe Final Testament might come to Raw.
Speaking of them, why are they cutting shit in NXT?
I have no idea.
What the fuck? Why are they even? Why is AOP worried about the tag titles at NXT? Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, granted, I agree with you, but I liked how Paul Ellering, you know, I like what he said. He kind of, not that he covered it, but he kind of gave you a reason why they were there.
True.
You know, by saying, you know, we're trying to take all the gold. Okay, great. Maybe you should have done that before.
I was going to say, NXT, this is, you know, that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, granted, they're probably, like I said, I know. Like Baron Corbin and Natalya and you got a bunch of guys there, the Good Brothers. They're pretty much helping those guys and that's cool. Yeah. I don't want people thinking that that's a demotion and da da da. It's because it's not. They're just there to help. You know,
and that is it. Like I don't compare the Final Testament to a Baron or Natalya or the Good Brothers because them teams or that team and Natalya and Baron. They are helpers. They are veterans. They are trying to help these guys. Final Testament, I feel like, is so different because they're starting out. Like, Karrion Kross hasn't been there that long. AOP hasn't been in WWE for a while. Now they're back.
Yeah.
They're not – I don't consider them veterans. They're a good fucking faction.
Yeah.
That's my main thing. It's like, stay away from NXT. You don't need to be doing that. You need to be dominating SmackDown or Raw.
Yep.
This is me.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like I said, I hate when people think that NXT is like a demotion and it's not because The Undertaker was there. Okay. True. First of all, he was there. It's like, did The Undertaker get demoted? Give me a break.
Right.
But I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of crazy shit happening on SmackDown as far as the draft goes. It's going to continue on to Monday night. The Bloodline storyline, we got a lot of shit this week, man. And I can't wait to cover it next week. I think that's it for the show.
Yeah.
So you retained your title today.
Did, yes.
Oh, shit. He's going after your streak, Eliel.
That I am.
All right.
My own streak.
With that being said, I'm your host, Tony Diaz, along with the $50 man,
Clay Cummings.
All right. Love, peace, and wrestling. See you next week.